Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, where we focus on building your business through tangible strategies and ideas, all through the lens of the Christian faith, leaning on God as our strength and guide as we learn, grow, and encourage each other. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, Pressing Onward, and creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Community, and your host as we journey through this business-building life together. Today, I am really excited to introduce you to our first guest of the second season of our podcast, Miss Julie Gill. When Julie and I talked on the phone, I got off the call feeling really inspired and just so pumped to share her with you all because I think she's really onto something with her business. Julie Gill is a time management coach who has always loved finding creative ways to live an intentional life of faith through planning and organizing. She was a stay-at-home mom for 23 years while creating many systems to keep her home running smoothly and her family time purposeful. She eventually compiled all of her systems together into a book called From Disorder to Peace and shared these systems with other women through workshops, retreats, and one-on-one consultations. After her kids left home, she felt led to focus solely on her time management system. She began Priority Living to teach women how to simplify, prioritize, and organize their time for the glory of God. Her goal is to help women put hands and feet to the truths in Scripture by providing practical and tangible ways to live them out. I told you that she is going to add so much value to all of us. Hi, Julie. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to talk about this really, really important subject.
Absolutely. So like I said, I just love the conversation that we had a few weeks ago. I love the perspective that you come from, and I also love how practical you are. So I guess to get us started, let's just dive into these questions here. You had mentioned to me that you had been really using these systems for years and years and years in your own family. So my question is, how did you decide to move your passion into a business?
Well, interestingly enough, the Lord gave me all of these, you know, tools and systems and things that I designed years before I actually knew the Lord. So when I first became a stay-at-home mom, I had no idea what I was doing. And so I just used my kind of natural organizational gene that was passed down to me from my mom. And I just kind of came up with all kinds of systems and tangible things to help me raise my family and, you know, just manage my home. And then years later, I was saved. And it took on a completely different purpose for me. And I really, because I saw other women struggling with all the things that I was struggling with that didn't have maybe the skills of being able to know how to organize their time, you know, their home, they're paying their bills, you know, discipling their children. There were so many different things that I saw women struggling with. And I had a friend of mine who said, you know, what you do, because she saw all my systems, she goes, what you do, you really should like hold a workshop at church and teach other women how to do that. And I had not even thought about doing that. So I did that for many years. And then my kids, as they do, they grow up and leave home. And so after my youngest left, and I really thought, wow, you know, my earthly identity as a stay-at-home mom, that was over and I was moving into a new season. And I honestly had no idea what to do with that time. I knew I wanted to go back to work, but I didn't know doing what. So I kind of struggled with a few things, tried a few different avenues of work and things that I could do, and nothing was sitting right with me. And then one day in prayer, the Lord, I really just sensed him telling me, Julie, just do what you've always done and take, you know, all of those things that you were teaching women for so long and turn it into a business now. So that's what I did.
I love that so much. And I love your testimony in that the Lord had a plan for you, had his hand on you even long before you even knew him. You know, long before you were saved, he was working out all of those details so many years before that, because he knew you were going to come around, you know, and he was going to use you for his glory. And so I love your testimony in that. So one thing that we also talked about that really jumped out at me was the way that you did your beta group. In your beta group, you really set it up as a very long-term beta group. And I know for me, I get an idea and I want to throw it out there right then. And we have 6 weeks to test it and then move on. And sometimes that's a good thing. But you were very patient. You learned a whole lot. Can you tell us, A, about the beta group, B, what you wanted to learn by having that type of beta group, and then kind of C, what you have done with that information since then?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Honestly, I did not intend for it to be a long-term beta group. That I really didn't know what I was doing early on in the beginning of starting my business. I just knew that I wanted to test out my thoughts and ideas, you know, with other women, because for years I was the only one using my time management system, and it was designed for me in the way I think. And I just thought, oh, let me test it out and just see how it works. So once I got, it didn't take me long after working with these women and showing them the system, that I very quickly realized that not everybody thinks the way that I do, and that this system, you can't just kind of cut and paste and give somebody, you know, tell them how to manage their time and it's going to work for everybody. I definitely learned that really quickly on. And I learned so much from them. And I took in everything they were telling me, all of their suggestions, what was working, what wasn't working. And what I really noticed most of all was that our personalities and how we're wired has a lot to do with how we manage time. That was something really surprising to me that I didn't even really think about before. And I realized some women just didn't like a daily scheduled, you know, every single hour scheduled kind of plan. Others, you know, if you did not give them a very specific plan, they were not able to kind of just wing it, where other women just give them one list or a couple of priorities for the day and they can run with it. And I saw all of our differences and I thought, wow, this is really amazing. And so outside of my beta group, I started thinking about all the women that I know, you know, my family members, my friends that I knew well. And the interesting thing is that we all, I noticed, kind of fit into one of three different time management styles. And that is the precision type, the spontaneous, and the casual. And, you know, we all have different varying degrees of how much we follow each one of those, but we all seem to fit into one of those. And I found that so fascinating because it made such a big difference with how we manage our time. Because a lot of planners that you'll pick up, a lot of time management tips and techniques and ideas and different systems are pretty much all geared toward the precision time management style, which, you know, love lists and schedules and goal planning worksheets and all of that. But what I found is the women that really wanted to get a handle on their time and they picked up a planner from the store or they read a book about time management and they tried to do it that way and they couldn't do it and they failed and they thought it was them. They thought, you know, I'm a failure at this. I can't do this. And what I realized was, no, it's not that you're failing at this. You're just not approaching it the way you're wired, the way God made you. You know, there are, like, I'm a precision, so I love all those lists and all of those schedules. But I found that my spontaneous and casual clients and these women in the beta group wanted to do it differently. They saw time differently. They approached time differently. And they weren't so detail-oriented. They were more big-picture thinkers. And so it was a lot of fun working with them over 2 years. Actually, we're still together. We still meet once a month just to kind of check in. But I'm constantly learning from them. And I took everything that they taught me and all the things that I observed in them. And I began to restructure, you know, what I do and how I teach it so that I'm really sensitive to find out, first and foremost, what is your time management style? How do you see time? What's important to you? How do you like to structure your day? And then I create their time management system around their style.
What an amazing realization that you had, because I'm definitely precision too. And I would assume that that was the only way had I not listened to what you had to say. So just because I am curious, could you talk us through those three styles really quickly? I think we get precision. That's your list maker. That's your, I need every minute, half hour, hour planned out. But could you talk us through the other two really quickly?
Yes, absolutely. And I just love the differences between all of them. And here's the important thing. It's none of them are right or wrong, right? And a lot of people think, well, right, I have to be a precision type, you know, to really manage my time well. And you don't. You absolutely don't, because there's actually positives and negatives to each one of these. And the goal is not to be 100% any of them. I mean, it's a really good idea to learn from the others to fill in your gaps where you're, you know, weaker. But the precision, like you said, is very detail oriented, right? We love to get things done right. We're really organized and thorough and dependable. But that would be the positive. But the negative side is we can really get lost in those details. And we can waste a lot of time trying to achieve perfect results, right? Which is impossible. And we also tend to procrastinate because we know once we get involved in something, we have to give it 110%. So there's good and there's bad to being a precision. And it's really important to identify those so that you can, you know, you can work with that. Now, spontaneous time management style, they are just known for being the really helpful, really giving type. And they are always there when somebody needs them. You know, they don't get bogged down by all of those details because they see the big picture. They're very aware of what's going on around them all the time. Whereas precisions can be, you know, really focused on what they had planned to do, that they kind of miss the things that are going on around them. But spontaneous are constantly looking at the people around them. And they can actually get a lot done in a day. It just probably won't be what they plan to do, because spontaneous can switch tasks really easily if there's a need in front of them, right? Which is a beautiful thing, really. Mm-hmm. But they do, that's their positive. The negative is they tend to overcommit themselves because they try to address every single need around them. So they can experience a lot of stress and feeling like, you know, their work is never done because they're always shifting. Then you have your casual type. The casuals are those really easygoing people in our lives. They have a very low degree of stress, and they're actually really fun to be around, right? They can make other people feel really relaxed and calm. These are usually the very creative or artsy people, but of course, their casual approach can leave other people feeling really disappointed that aren't so casual, right? Because things aren't done on time. And the casual can start to feel a little unproductive and a little frustrated, you know, feeling like they really should get a lot more done, but they just, it's really not on the top of their priority list. So each one of these are really different, and precisions can learn so much from the spontaneous. I know I have. The two most important women in my life, my sister, who's my best friend, and my daughter are both spontaneous, and I'm precision. And I used to get really frustrated with them, you know, switching gears all the time. But then I realized the beauty in that. And I realized to kind of pick my head up from all my plans and my schedules and realize, wow, you know, there's an opportunity in front of me that's actually more important than what I had planned. And if I didn't really see that in them, I would have never done that. I would have just stuck with my schedule and plowed through. I would have missed a lot of opportunities. So it's really a matter of discerning. If something comes up, is it a higher priority than what you had planned? I mean, if it is, then you need to learn to, you know, just be spontaneous and forget what you were doing and shift gears. And of course, if it is not as, you know, higher priority than what you had planned, then you can make that decision as well. But I learned so much from them, you know, be aware of what's around me and to make those decisions. And then the casual, you know, I've learned as a precision to just chill a little bit sometimes and not take everything so seriously and to learn how to just enjoy the moment.
Absolutely. So I'm self-evaluating as you are talking about all of these things. And what's funny is that, so this, I didn't know the vocabulary that you have coined these terms, and I really love this, but this has kind of been a conviction of mine. And I do like the Enneagram, and I'm an Enneagram 3, which I think goes very hand in hand with precision probably. But in my growth there, I can get very wrapped up in work to where I forget, you know, that there are other parts of my life going on at the same time. And so, for example, I told you that my sister-in-law is over here right now. I'm about to go out and get in the pool with her. And I would never normally do that at 1 o'clock on a Thursday. But she was off this afternoon and she wanted to spend some time together. My immediate reaction was, no, I can't. I have too much to do. And then I thought for a second and I thought, no, like I can take this time and connect with her. But my nature is not spontaneous or casual. And so I had to go into my planner and I had to block out that time. And then that made me feel like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. What I'm supposed to be doing is hanging out with my family, you know, and that helps me, gives me peace in that. But I certainly can see the value and the benefit in these three time management styles. And I would certainly think that especially for the spontaneous and the casual, knowing this almost kind of releases them from having to feel like a precision time management person. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that I think it was my biggest discovery. Is that, you know,
right.
I thought the women coming to me were going to get my time management system and they'd be good to go. And I realized, no, it's not quite that simple. It really has to be geared to what's going to work for them. Because you can have the greatest time management plan in the world, but if you're not going to get it off the page and actually into your life, it's not going to do anybody any good. So I wanted to make sure that it was a plan that was going to work for every single person I worked with. And that means you have to customize it to every person. So yeah, that was a big eye-opener for me.
So one word that you keep using is the word priority, right? And you even said if something has a higher priority, then, you know, we need to be able to shift and stop and shift. But sometimes I think the struggle is knowing what has a higher priority in that moment, you know, and just kind of like what my internal struggle was here today. I have my to-do list for work, but my family asked to spend time with me. And that in the moment becomes a higher priority. And so one of the things that we talked about, and I could probably talk to you about it for hours, is the difference between redeeming your time in godly ways. And I think another way to say that is prioritizing your time in godly ways. And this culture definition of self-care. And I think we can agree that we live in a culture, a time period where, especially in the United States, busyness is the norm. Where if you don't have something to do four nights out of the week, then you're not doing enough kind of thing, you know? And this has gone down into our children. I know when I taught in schools, I had kids that literally were doing something every night of the week, a practice, a rehearsal, something every night of the week. And I can remember teaching Sunday school for 11th grade girls. And these girls were just so stressed, so overwhelmed, bawling, crying, you know. And I thought, how did we get here? How did we get here? And everything that they were doing were good things. You know, none of the activities that they were doing were negative things, but they were adding up to this life of stress. And that was in an 11th grader. So could you kind of walk us through the biblical perspective of redeeming your time in godly ways, as opposed to trying to make ourselves feel better through this self-care and busyness phase of life that we're going through?
Yes. And the idea of redeeming our time in scripture actually comes from Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. And it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And the Strong's definition there of that Greek word, the one that's translated into our English word redeemed, it means to buy up or ransom. And figuratively, it means to rescue it from loss, right? And the verse says that we must redeem our time because the days are evil. That's the reason it gives, because we do live in evil days. And if we are not really intentional about how we use our time, then we are going to fall into that default mode of these evil days, and which means that we're going to be using our time for what we want and desire and not necessarily what God has for us. And so we have to, in essence, basically buy back that time from this current age, which includes all of that busyness and all that culture tells us we have to be doing, and we have to rescue it from loss by using it for the glory of God. So when we think about redeeming our time, we probably think about, you know, filling it with all these good works, the things that we have to do, like you said, you know, like how much more can I fit into my time? And, you know, using our gifts to edify the church, or, you know, witnessing to our unsafe family members and friends and neighbors, or any other activity that, you know, we can think of to bring glory to God are all good things. Like, we can fill our time with all really good things, but we think taking care of ourselves doesn't fit into that category. We don't think about self-care and caring for ourselves as part of the good works that God has planned for us. But clearly God has commanded us to rest from our work periodically, right? To refresh ourselves. I love that scene in Mark 31, when after Jesus had sent out the 12 and then they returned, and Jesus said to them, you know, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. And then it says, for there were many people coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. So the reason that Jesus did that is because he knows we have our limits. And if we don't take this time to rest and refresh ourselves, then we show a lack of understanding, really, of the character of God and what his expectations are for our lives. Because we do have limitations. We're limited in how long we can go without sleep and how long our, you know, bodies will stay healthy without good nutrition, and, you know, how many good works we can fit into one day. But the good works that we need to be filling our time with are certainly going to include that commandment to rest. So self-care implies not only caring for our body, right? By exercising well and getting enough sleep and eating well, we do need to do all those things. But it also means giving time for our emotional, mental, and spiritual health. So really, to me, self-care is twofold. It's one, not pushing the limits that God has put in place, whether those are physical limits, emotional limits, or our time limits. But it's also giving enough time to our spiritual maturity and our own growth. I consider the most important self-care activity that I can personally do is to be in God's word and to be in prayer. And unfortunately, when I hear about self-care, the way it's talked about today, mostly, it's usually referring to, you know, our physical rest or pampering ourselves so that, you know, we can kind of shut down and just, you know, kind of put the focus on us. But, you know, many women will take time for those things and neglect time in prayer and studying scripture. Because to me, that's just as important. That's really important. Self-care is to constantly be growing in the Lord. So that to me, that's really the most important self-care activity that could be filling your time.
I agree 100%. And I agree with you because the Bible says that. And I also agree with you from my own experience. And I know that, you know, you asked a question in our group the other day, what hinders spending time with the Lord? And my response to that was getting out of routine. And so, you know, if I'm traveling, or it's not that I don't take my Bible, I do. It's just being out of routine with it. But I can tell you this, if I go even a day, honestly, and I haven't started my day off in the word, in prayer, and in worship, I feel it. I feel drained. I feel exhausted. I feel off. I feel like I don't handle things as well. Yeah. I don't feel as grounded. And it really is amazing. I say a lot that I think that spending time with the Lord starts as a habit, and then it develops into a need. Yes, it is a need from the beginning, but we don't know we need it. But the more we do it, the more we feel it when we don't
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, I'll take one more step before that, is that our time with the Lord starts as a routine. And there's a big difference between routines and habits, which I think is fascinating, the way our brain works. But a routine is something that you purposefully plan to do, And it's going to take a lot of thought and a lot of effort to do it each day. And the goal of your routines is to form them into habits. And once you've done something over and over so many times that you get used to that and you actually begin to crave it because you've doing it so much. And if you skip it, your brain knows you skipped it. That's the point where it turns into a habit. And habits are things you do over and over with little conscious thought and not as much effort, which makes them a beautiful time management tool because you can turn routines into habits, those things that are really important to you that you want to make time for, and to, you know, to create these routines that turn into these healthy habits will then allow you to use your time so well because you're doing these things automatically and you're doing them almost without thinking. Like when you know that it's time for you to go into your prayer space, wherever that is and whatever time that is, and you just kind of get there. There are some mornings where I'm sitting down, I'm like, ooh, here I am. Like I'm so used to doing that. Now I get up, I make the coffee, I go to my inner room that I call it. And I don't even think about it anymore. I'm just there because it has become such a habit for me. So yeah, that habits, routines are really, really important when it comes to managing your time well.
So there is so much more to learn from you, but our time is coming to an end here. Can you tell our listeners how they can connect with you? And you have a couple of great things to offer our listeners. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to my website, which is prioritylivingnow.com. And I have a couple of things on there for you, which is a time management style quiz that, you know, you can take just to find out what your style is, because that's a really great place to start. I also do twice a month what I call virtual coffees. It's just a way to connect and just to start this conversation about managing our time well for the glory of God. You can come anytime you want to. You can come once, you can come every other week. And, you know, just ask your questions and we can talk about this. We can dig into scripture and, you know, just help you out that way. And then I also have a group called Faithful Time, a Facebook group. And so, yeah, all of those things, I would love for you to come and join me.
So we will have the links for all of those in the show notes, which you can find at jenkleiber.com. We will also include the links on for the social media posts when this episode goes live. So there will be lots of ways to be able to find Julie. Julie, thank you so much for your time and for the wisdom. I know you have so much more to share, and I know that we're going to have people who want to connect with you on that, but thank you so much for this conversation.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for having me, because this, you know, how we manage our time, basically time is the space we're living our life out in, and it's so, so important that we use it well. So I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about it a bit.
Absolutely. And I want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur. There you'll get business strategies and verses for guidance and encouragement. And it's just great to have a community that celebrates each other and networks with each other and prays for each other. And Julie is there as well. So that's another place that you can connect with her in that group. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please subscribe and download, and we will be back with another episode of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur next week.